Ace Podcast.
10, 9, 8, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hey there, how are you? Thank you for...
I'm good.
I was talking to the listener.
Oh.
But how are you, Craig?
That was presumptuous, like we've got a listener.
Welcome to episode 70.
We got millions of listeners.
Oh, no. I wish. One day. Maybe.
And you tell me we don't have millions of listeners.
Well, no, not yet. But we're well on our way because we're at episode 70.
250,000 listeners?
Maybe. Who knows?
600,000 listeners?
We probably won't hit that before the big change happens in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I sense some change.
Do you really?
It's really weird.
It is weird change. Change is a-coming. I think Bob Dylan said that. I think Bob Dylan said weird change
is
a-coming.
Didn't REO talk about some kind of a change?
Yeah, they
did.
Roll
with the change.
Yes, they did. And that's a fantastic song, too.
According to you.
You know what? That's probably my all-time favorite rock and roll song.
Hey.
Yeah.
Can I just talk about something?
Sure.
Us?
Well, go ahead.
Not us, like me and you, but, well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I've got a review here.
Oh, good. Is it?
Yeah. It comes from Kelly Mara.
Okay.
This comes to us from our friends over at Cast Crunch. Is that right?
That's right. She follows us on Cast Crunch, which is a really cool website. It's kind of like a Facebook.
It sounds like a cereal, and it sounds delicious.
Oh, it does. Captain Cast Crunch.
Oh.
But it's kind of like Facebook for podcasts. So check out Cast Crunch. You can upvote,
down. Right now, I need to read this. And then
go ahead.
I'll check it out later.
Go ahead.
Kelly says... Ready?
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. This podcast is amazing. I want to think that Kelly maybe said it like, ha ha ha.
She may
have. Ha ha ha. How do you think she would have said it?
Either one of those would work fine.
Maybe she said it this way. Ha, this podcast is amazing.
No, there's three of them. She did. Oh. She wrote three ha's.
Okay, I'm working on it. Here we go.
Okay.
Ha ha ha, this podcast is amazing. I don't know. I got
That's
nothing.
It. No, that
nothing.
Was good.
I wish some local news station would let these guys run an entire episode on April Fool's Day.
That would be awesome.
No
and
joke.
We are available for that.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we
April
are.
April Fool's Day is done.
Next
right?
year, hello, there's going to be another one. There's a lot of them left,
hey,
I hope.
I got the top story. You got the top story.
I got top story tonight.
Top story.
On his way to jail, man asked police if he'll be able to pick up the 5 pounds of methamphetamines he left in his car.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
Are you kidding me?
No. And that was the headline. He was under arrest and on his way to jail in the back of an Oregon State Police car on April the 2nd when Timothy...
Like an organ?
No, not an organ. Oregon. Oregon. When Timothy...
That's me doing an organ.
When Timothy Robert Scott...
This is when the organ gets crazy and things get nuts.
Not Oregon, Oregon. Like as in, you know, Oregon. You know.
Like the Oregon Trail?
Yes.
Oh, now we get to get diphtheria.
Yeah. So he had...
Several of us will probably die before we get there.
Timothy Robert Scott, who...
You ever feel like you've lost control of the podcast?
I do.
Let's just go. What'd you talk about Timothy?
Timothy Robert Scott, who had just allegedly crashed his Lexus into a Springfield officer's vehicle. That you know, if you crash into a vehicle, don't make it an officer's.
Did he allegedly or did he?
He did. He asked the trooper a provocative question, Craig.
Allegedly, to me, just sounds like they're trying to be nice enough to give him benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Well, he did it or he didn't.
Well, exactly. But there's lawyers involved. And anytime there's lawyers involved, unless it's Saul Goodman, there's going to be crap like this. So anyway.
You better call Saul.
Yeah. Can you tell me which tow company took my car?
No, I can't.
Scott allegedly asked
he was asking
Oregon State Police trooper as he was on his way to the Lane County Jail. And then he added this, Craig. I have like 5 pounds in that car. So the officer asked, of what? Methamphetamines, Scott replied.
I'm a pharmaceutical rep. I'm a street pharmaceutical rep.
What? Yeah, okay. The exchange was captured on the patrol vehicle's in-car video.
Well, he exchanged some of the drugs with the cops.
And transcribed in a newly released search warrant affidavit filed last week in Lane County Circuit Court. Scott, age 39, old enough to know better,
yep.
of Springfield, allegedly told the trooper he had drugs hidden in his 1998 Lexus 300. That, my friend, is a fantastic car, let me tell you.
Because it comes with a trunk full of meth.
We had a 98 300. We got over 300,000 miles on it. Anyway,
well, that's what the 300 means, right?
Yeah, it
Lexus
is.
Lexus 300. I want to get the Lexus like
500,000.
500,
yeah.
No, just the 500. That means 500,000.
No, if you get the 500,000, you get like 5 million miles. Anyway,
your math is not right.
He said he doubted that police would find them, seemingly bragging about the last time in his car had been searched. This guy's been through this all before. In September.
So he thought he would say he had a bunch of stuff in the trunk of the car, and they were going to ask what it was.
Right. Narcotics enforcement team detectives searched Scott's car and found a tan zippered money bag with magnets that attached it under the hood, and it was covered by
under
the insulation.
The hood. You said under the hood.
I got places in there, he said. I showed them last time. They couldn't even find the empty slot, though. I gave it to them last time, though. I gave them the freebie last time, he said. It's between the insulation and the hood the last time in this magnetic bag. Springfield police detectives.
I can't decide if I admire the guy for how stupid he is.
I don't know, but he's cocky.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How cocky is what I really meant to say.
The guy
is so incredibly cocky.
Maybe he thinks if he just comes clean, they won't even believe him. Maybe they'll think it's all banana oil. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So Springfield Police Detective David Lewis said Monday
that such a sockdolager.
Yeah, police thoroughly searched Scott's car with the help of drug-sniffing police dogs.
He's an upstager.
Yes.
That's really what we're talking
about.
He
really is. After the search warrant had been filed, but they did not locate the drugs. So he does have them hidden very well. Scott is
Well, he didn't this time because they found it.
No, this time he told them it was in there, but they never found it. He, like, gave him a little hint. He said, check it if you can or wreck it.
So wait.
What?
I was too busy interrupting you. Did they find it or not?
No, they didn't find it. He told them there was 5 pounds in his car and they never found it. They even used a drug sniffing dog.
So he said, I want to pick up the 5 pounds I've got in there.
Yeah.
But he never went and got it.
No. And they never found
it. So he just threw it in their face.
Yeah. He's like,
well, wouldn't they be able to catch it?
Hey.
New museum reveals power of poo in Italy.
Oh, a poo museum. A poo museum.
I don't know where this is going.
A poo-seum.
It may pong, but Italy's poop museum. What does that mean, it may pong?
It may pong? I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
I have no idea what it may pong means.
Oh, Castelbosco, Italy. It may pong, but Italy's poop museum has the whiff of success about it. Here in Castelbosco. Sounds like a castle.
Castelbosco.
It's Castelbosco, but it sounds like Castelbosco.
Castelbosco. That's a cool name.
Farmers are transforming sloppy cowpats into plates you can eat off of.
Gross.
No, sir, I will not.
No, thank you. I'll just hold it in a paper towel.
Ugh. Yeah, what are the paper towels made out of?
Give me a plate made out of poo. I'll tell you, go chase yourself, man.
But here's the deal. If you don't like our sloppy cowpats that are plates, use one of our napkins. It's made of used toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Once upon a time, there was a large farm about 100 kilometers, that's about 62 miles,
yeah,
south of Milan. The farmer had not only hundreds of cows, but veritable mountains of excrement.
Gross.
Sinking slops he thought he could do something with.
Yeah.
Can't you just use it for manure?
Sure.
The idea came from the need to take advantage of animal dung in an ecological way. We managed to transform it into something useful. Farmer Gianantonio Locatelebelebele,
that's a cool
61,
name.
61, told AFP. Was it America's Funniest People?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Over his various farms, 3,500 cattle produce 550 quintals.
Ooh.
55 tons.
Is
of
that
milk,
tons?
I guess. I don't know. Tones? Of milk. It's a 55 tones of milk a day to make Grana Padano, a hard cheese comparable to Parmigiano Reggiano.
Fun.
Are they making these words up to make them sound Italian?
No.
They also generate 1,500 quintiles of waste.
Good grief. That would be like over 100 tons.
That's a lot.
That would be almost 150 tons of poop.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
They should make plates out of it. Rather than wallow in it, he came up with an ingenious way to make use of the pungent matter.
Gross.
I think that
What's
would
with all the adjectives?
I don't know, but I think it would clash with the flavor of the food to have a pungent odor coming
yes,
off your plate.
Yes, it would.
The excrement is collected into so-called stool digesters.
Isn't that what a stomach is?
Isn't that what a pig is? Immense vats were where bacteria transform everything organic into methane.
Uh-oh.
The methane is then burned to produce electricity, which is sold by the farm. The daily feces output produces 3 megawatts an hour. Enough.
Surprise.
It is enough to turn on the lights of a village of 3,000 to 4,000 inhabitants.
Well, that's a lot of electricity.
The water used to cool the engine heats to 100 degrees Celsius.
That's one of my favorite Boston songs.
100 degrees Celsius?
No, cool the engines.
All right. Which is then used to warm the farm, stables, and digesters.
Yeah.
Is that the cows?
Yeah, that's the pigs.
Oh, the pigs. Yeah, the pigs. which must be kept at a constant 40 degrees.
Burr.
Part of the dung left over after the bacteria have had their fill is then used as fertilizer.
Yeah.
With the Merdame brand set to hit supermarket shelves soon. Is Merdame brand, is that the stuff, the plates?
All I know that is that Merdame in French is...
Is it Merdame or Merdame?
Merdame is the brand name.
Okay.
But Merdame means poop in French.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be a play on words, probably.
Yeah.
But the most sophisticated stool success is the line of tableware and everyday objects created out of the leftover feces dubbed
fecal surprise.
Merdicata?
Merdicata.
Literally translates into baked
poop.
Poop. A play on the clay-based earthenware terracotta, which I kind of thought that must have been Merdicata.
Yeah.
But why don't they just keep using it for energy? Why are they doing this?
I think the energy's used off of it. It's like the waste of the waste.
Oh.
So they got tons of this stuff,
like
literally.
Our podcast of all podcasts.
Yes.
A lot like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
The recipe, pungent poo mixed with Tuscan clay and rounded off with a little secret touch. I hope they washed their hands after they touched it. A formula Locatelli fiercely protects.
Sure.
Was it like he's like the colonel?
Yes, he is.
To make bricks, hexagonal and rectangular tiles, flower pots, plates, or jars. He does. He wants to protect the recipe.
He's the poo colonel.
Oh, I hated the colonel with his wee beady eyes and his poop bricks. Coming perhaps to a dining table near you soon. Not likely. The clean lined, simple Merdicata creations are a revolutionary product halfway between plastic and terracotta. He says. Wasn't there some nasty coffee or something that was made out of bugs or bug poop or something?
Yeah, the monkeys eat it and poop it out, the beans, and they make supposedly delicious coffee. Yeah. I'm not drinking it.
What did it? It's like the little girl that was found with monkeys.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. She knows better than you.
Right.
I bet she wasn't drinking coffee, monkey coffee, poop.
Nope.
Espresso.
Off a poop plate. Hey, we got a sports story.
Hey, we said at the same time, hey.
Hey, now. Hey. We got a sports story, which is rare for us. We don't have a
you
whole
know
lot
why?
Of it because weird stuff doesn't really happen in sports that often.
Because I don't know the sports.
I do.
You know that when you start talking about the story, it's going to be like you're speaking another language.
Well, no, it won't. You'll get this one because this was big news last week because it's so rare. I mean, it's never happened before. But anyway,
I bet I can be confused.
Headline is Cardinals Piscotty hit 3 times in 1 trip around the bases. This guy,
so,
starting at
Piscotty
home,
is a type of a cardinal.
He's
a type of a bird.
Stephen Piscotty.
He's a bird.
He's an outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
All right.
So you got a bunch of birds.
No. St. Louis Cardinals outfielder Stephen Piscotty left Tuesday's game against the Chicago Cubs on Tuesday night.
So birds playing against bears.
On Tuesday night after he was hit by 3 baseballs in 1 trip around the bases. A video posted to Twitter shows the three times when Piscotty was hit. First at bat. Then as he ran to second, and again when he ran home. So when he was batting, and I watched the video over and over.
Sometimes you get hit when you're trying to bat. You get hit.
You do. That happens. That's not so unusual.
But he still hit the ball even being hit by it?
No. If you get hit by a bean, if you get beaned, you get the base. You automatically go to first base.
Okay. Now, so you've got to spell this out for
me. So he gets beaned in his elbow, and he's like, ow, shakes it off, runs to first base, makes it to second. As he runs to second, the catcher throws the ball to the second baseman, hits him in the other elbow.
Does he get the base for that?
Well, he's already on the base for that.
Okay, so he was already on the base. He was not out.
Yeah, it had to hit
him.
But
if he was on his way and got hit by the ball, would that put him out?
But
yeah,
anyway,
put him out if he hit him in the head.
So then a guy comes up and he steals third. As he's running home, the second baseman throws the ball, hits him in the head with the baseball. But he had his helmet on.
Before he got to the base?
Yes.
And he was out.
So he was hit by a baseball 3 times in 1 trip around the bases. I've got the after-game interview with him.
What were the after effects immediately after you were laying there? You're able to get off the field. What were you feeling? What were you going through?
I think it stunned me. I wasn't expecting to get hit. I wasn't
sure.
Do
you guys hear that ringing?
I don't know if it was like a collision with the catcher or what happened. So, it just kind of stunned me. Not sure I had much of a concussion.
His words are slurring.
He's like, you guys, what's that ringing noise?
Just kind of got my cheekbone here a little bit.
Clanging.
Checked out pretty good, actually.
You had an eventful trip around the bases, getting hit at second, and then that.
Yeah, haven't seen it before.
It wasn't like a lost consciousness.
Pretty crazy. Glad I'm okay.
Glad I'm okay.
It's hard to believe.
Am I okay?
The events
When you get hit, when you get hit by that ball in the face, are you aware of like that throw hit me, or do you black out there, or what we feel?
What
like
kind of question is this?
You know, stupid question.
Why don't you hit the guy with the ball and let him see how it is? Every time I've ever been knocked out of my life, I woke up and didn't know what happened.
After a few seconds, kind of feared. I just got hit in the face or something like that. But
he's whispering. He can't hear anything.
He's like, I want to thank all you guys for coming on the interview. He's like, dude, I'm the only guy here. There's four of you.
Just like, are you kidding me type thing? Because it's all luck. It's,
okay, let's stop.
It's all luck.
I would just.
Bad luck is what it is.
You know why? Because even, okay, and then as you walk off, good reason I don't want to be a sports fan. Interviewers are stupid in the sports
area. Yeah, but sports, the interview is not sports. That's afterwards. That's for the papers.
But every time, and this is a guy who doesn't watch sports right here. This
is a guy that loves sports right here.
And as a guy who doesn't watch,
right.
Every interview that I've ever seen is the exact same one.
That's not sports.
It's empty questions.
It's not sports.
I know, but it's related to sports.
Watch the game and then turn TV off.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, though. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the lack of any skill from interviewers.
But that has nothing to do with sports.
Okay, would you just stop a minute? Okay? This is about sports.
That's like saying I don't watch movies because reviews. I don't watch movies because the guy's talking about reviews. They don't know what they're saying about.
I'm not saying I don't watch sports because of the interviews. I'm saying, though, this is what we're talking about.
You did? You said it's another reason.
Do you think I could maybe get my point across here?
Go ahead.
My point is, okay.
Not like it'll make it to the podcast, but go ahead.
No, my point is that we're talking about an interview. We're talking about the guy asking stupid questions about a guy hit with the ball. We know what happened. He hit with the ball. Why are you asking him how it felt?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Every time I've ever seen anybody interview a sporting event, interview after the sporting event, it's the same empty questions. It's like these people do not know how to ask questions.
Well, I disagree. We're just going to have to.
And every time the guy answers a question, well, you know, we just really got out there and we just didn't bring our best game with us. I don't know why I'm talking like this. And we just didn't bring our game with us. And you just next time, we just really need to bring a better game. And we just weren't focused. And we just need. And we just didn't win. That's what the problem was. We just weren't out there. We weren't winners today. Everything, it's the same interview every time.
That was pretty good.
Because it's the same interview every time.
Why are you watching these interviews if you don't like sports? That's my question.
I'm just into the news. I just like the news. I don't know, when I'm flipping stations and it's on.
Whatever.
Hey.
I think you're a secret sports fan.
No, I'm not.
I think you might be.
I don't like the hula hoops.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
Gothenburg bomb turned out to be a pile of fish.
Ooh.
It's a fish bomb.
It's a stinky bomb right there.
Police in Gothenburg, nobody still knows where Gothenburg is, made a stinky discovery this week when a suspicious package they were called out to investigate turned out to be fishier than previously thought. On Monday evening, a security guard raised the alarm about a possible bomb after spotting a large taped-up package sitting on a bench at Nils Ericsson Splatsen Splurtsen.
That's it.
That was a beginning of a...
That's got to be in Germany.
No, that was the beginning of a Def Leppard song, wasn't it?
Eric Splatsen Splatsen Splatsen
near Gothenburg's busy central station. When police arrived at the scene, they judged that the package could be opened for further inspection. And after cutting through the tape, they found not explosives, but 10 kilos. They found 10 kilos.
Oh, wow.
Of frozen cod.
Ugh.
I do not know who the fish belongs to. I assume it's someone who's been out fishing and forgot the parcel there. I don't know what happened with the cod after that. Swedish Police West Region
that was
Press
perfect.
Spokesperson Peter Alderson told local police.
Local
newspaper, rather. Gothenburg Posten.
I say
Gothenburg Posten.
Gothenburg Posten.
With a strategic location on the country's west coast.
This they don't want anybody.
This actually sounds, they don't want anybody to know.
Yeah,
secret. This actually sounds like it's like a travel video. With a strategic location on the country's west coast, the close proximity to the North Sea, Sweden's second city is famous for its fish and seafood.
Second city.
And when news of the package's contents emerged, Swedes wasted little time in making fun of the situation. This could have only happened in a Gothenburg, TT News report agent Nicholas Svan wrote on Twitter. Am I the only one who sees the links to ISIS? I see a link to ISIS.
It's ISIS because the fish were frozen.
Maybe.
ICE.
But perhaps the harshest take came from Glenn Bordig. People who believe that eating a fish in some way makes you a smarter. Have you ever met a Gothenburger?
That's a good point.
I've never met a Gothenburger, but that has nothing to do with fish.
Oh, I love a good burger,
the only
though.
Real fish I need is Captain D's, my friend.
Oh, that I don't even really eat that anymore.
That's not real fish, though.
I don't eat fish at all.
I was making fun of it because it's not actually real fish.
Yeah.
Captain D's is about as real fish as, like, El Chico is real
or
Mexican
filet
food.
Of fish.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's about, like, real, like, filet of fish is real.
Yeah.
Did we just go off some thing?
We did. There? We went off some. Hey, Craig.
Hey, that's me.
We got another museum story. This is two museum stories, one show.
That's crazy.
Kind of like two
middle-aged
dudes.
That's never happened before.
No, has.
Only in episode 70 could something like that happen.
Exactly. Headline is The Museum of Failure.
You say the museum? Like you failed at saying that?
Of Failure showcases and celebrates really terrible ideas.
Like our podcast.
Does this not sound like a very interesting museum, though?
It does.
I would love to go to this museum.
It sounds
museum.
Like we should have wax figures of ourselves there.
Well, they probably already do.
Ooh. I wonder if it's that kind of candy wax, that stuff that you get that had the flavor inside and you chew on it
No,
while.
That stuff's not a failure. That stuff is still available at your local Cracker Barrel store.
Like the ones that are like little bottles
of
soda?
Yeah, little soda bottles. And then they it's Kool-Aid, though. It's no, there's no carbonation.
I don't think it's... really actually the Kool-Aid brand.
And it's not the Kool-Aid brand.
There are people right now rushing to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I want some of that Kool-Aid.
Some of the, yeah, don't
Can I read
the Kool-Aid.
This story?
Yeah, please.
Do you mind?
That's my line.
Do you want to own a mobile device that's just for tweeting, Craig?
Nope. Nope.
Or possibly a portable mask that zaps your face with electrical charges?
Can I zap other people's
faces? Nope, just yours.
Nope.
Yeah, it turns out nobody else does either, Craig. But you can learn all about these and other failed products at Sweden's new Museum of Failure.
I'm an innovation researcher, and about the past 6 years of consuming all of the literature, going to conferences, I got kind of fed up with everybody's worshiping a success all the time.
Yeah, that's no good. Samuel West, the museum's founder, told As It Happens host Carol Off.
I know, and everybody in the business knows that about 80-90% of all innovation products fail. But we never hear anything about them.
That's a shame, he said. West believes we can only learn a lot by studying our failures.
So I started collecting a few,
he said.
And then it turned into an obsession. And after that, I had to start the Museum of Failure.
So let's take a little look at what's on display. There's the Twitter Peak, a 2009 pocket-sized device used just for tweeting.
Oh, I love that one. It's beautiful.
West said with a sigh.
It only tweets. It has no other function, right? The problem is it doesn't even tweet very well.
Oh, tweets can have up to 140 characters, as we know, but you can only see about 25 at a time on the Twitter Peak's tiny screen.
So a Pasha tweet on a tweet-to-tweeting device.
What about Bic? For her, pins were also on display. The supposedly female-friendly pink and purple pins launched to widespread derision and mockery in 2012.
I mean... you know that the women can't use regular pins. You need a special pins for the delicate hands.
West said.
And double the price for the regular pins.
Well, sure.
Because it's specifically for the women.
Then there's
that became Italian.
That was awesome, though. I loved it. Then there was an old bottle of Harley Davidson cologne from a motorcycles company's short-lived 90s line of beauty products dubbed Hot Rod.
That was a great one,
he said.
Harley Davidson thought that they would get more money out of the brand. Their macho, free rider, super macho man brand image.
This guy sounds awesome, he said.
And it doesn't resonate with the Harley Davidson macho guys. They were like, what? We don't want any perfume.
Of course they don't. They're motorcycle guys.
Right.
Asked if it smelled like oil and exhaust fumes, West said it's much, much worse.
My colleagues at the office say, I put it on when I finally got the hold of it. And as they said, somebody smells it like urine.
He said.
I think that's unfair. I mean, it's been in the bottle for a long time. But it's not the best cologne.
And much, much more. There is the Rejuvenique, a mask that literally shocks the wearer, all in the name of beauty, of course. And then they even added Coca-Cola Black, which is a coffee-infused version of the soda that existed between 2006 and 2008.
That's disgusting.
It was good. I actually enjoyed the Coke Black.
And it's racist.
Now, you talk about disgusting. We've got a disgusting story right here.
Man shatters world record, devours 255 peeps. In 5 minutes.
That's disgusting.
Now, what's disgusting is the flavors of Peeps they're coming out with now.
Yes.
They're coming out with all kinds of weird flavors.
Peeps are disgusting on their own.
No, they're not.
I could see putting
one. You ever
one,
put one in the microwave and watch it blow up?
No, but I would. But I'd like to, I could put one maybe in a cup of hot cocoa. That's the only thing I can see.
It's just a marshmallow. Why
it's gross because it's got all that sugar coating.
Like, I've never seen you, of all people, eat sugar.
I'm not going to eat a sugar-covered...
Oh, look at me. I don't eat sugar.
It's like a sugar-covered sugar cube. I'm not going to eat that.
And?
It's gross.
In the spirit of the Easter season, I don't know how that would even apply to the Easter season, San Jose's Matt Stoney inhaled 255 peeps Saturday on his way to smashing his previous world record.
Ugh.
The competitive eating legend downed the copious amount of sugary marshmallows in just 5 minutes at the second annual National Harbor World Peeps Eating Championship, according to the Major League Eating.
Mm-hmm.
According to Major League Eating. You know,
is that a sport?
Does it come back up in less than 5 minutes?
Yep, absolutely.
That mark set Saturday was 55 better than the previous world record, which happened to be set by Stoney during last year's peep eating contest in Maryland.
So let me get this straight. Last year he ate 200 and set the record. Why don't you just go at 201? Nobody's going to top that. Why go 255? That's overkill, Craig.
I bet he's a lonely single guy. He's a Stoney lonesome.
He probably is.
You see, I did.
Yeah.
Stoney lonesome. Stoney's first place finished helped him stuff his wallet with $1,750.
That's not enough.
I think it's enough. I get all those free peeps and $1,700.
No, he's going to need like
surgery.
Sadly,
someone else fed him the peeps, so they got the money.
Flashback.
Stoney, nicknamed Megatoad,
oh, yeah. Okay.
Is the number two ranked competitive eater in the world behind fellow San Jose, California native Joey Chestnut.
Hot dogs. He eats hot dogs. And
Joey Chestnut sounds like a mob guy.
He eats hot dogs.
Hey.
He dips them in water before
Joey
he beats
Chestnut.
Them.
Hey, Jimmy Twofish. The competitive eater is most famously known for winning the 2015 Nathan's Famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest, as some spoiler over there just told you.
Yeah.
That victory ended Chestnut's 8-year unbeaten streak at the world renowned.
I'm actually somewhat of a Joey Chestnut fan, but let me predict this. By this time, 5 years from now, there will be no more eating contests. Two people died this past week from eating contests.
Donuts and pancakes.
Donuts and pancakes.
As long as you don't try to overdo donuts and pancakes, bread.
I think it's going to go away. So listen, speaking of eating weird stuff.
Yeah, what's next? Then Domino's 30-minute delivery thing
goes
is going to go
away? Right.
Like that's ever
Headline happened. Is, woman finds live scorpion in a bag of spinach.
Wait, was the scorpion like...
No, no, it was like a bonus. It was like the protein.
No, she opens up, he's like, shut that back, it's bright out there.
A live scorpion was sitting in a salad mix that a Chevy Chase Maryland couple bought.
What does Chevy Chase have to do with this?
I knew that was coming. A couple bought from a giant grocery store last week. It was huge, this grocery store.
Look at the size of that.
Shamunka Prane Rajiv Jirapala said he and his wife bought a bag of spinach from a local giant on Friday.
Wait.
Hey.
There's a local giant? Yes, did they have to climb up the vine to get to him?
On Monday afternoon, his wife, Sir Sinhosta Bhattapati, opened the bag to make lunch when she noticed something unusual. I saw something inside the bag of crawling, she said. I thought it was a cricket in the beginning.
She
then
from
I noticed,
Jersey?
Yes, she is. Then I noticed
Maryland. Okay,
yeah,
well, that's close
when,
enough.
When it was in the bottle, that it was a scorpion. The Bhattapati said she...
It was a scorpion!
He was able to capture the scorpion in a water bottle and recorded cell phone video to send to her husband.
Of all the things to grab, you find the thing with the smallest... the tiniest lid.
They had to get a box. He returned home and took the bottle to the store. I want to return this water. The scorpion drank it all.
Hey, I got this beer and it had a mouse in it.
Classic. I told them not to sell the spinach anymore because it might contain a scorpion. The grocer pulled the giant brand spinach nearly 6 hours after finding out about the scorpion and being contacted by News 4. Giant Food of Landover, Maryland issued a statement, "Customer satisfaction is our highest priority. We regret any inconvenience to our customer. We take the quality of our products very seriously, and we're following up with the supplier to take every step to ensure this isolated incident," keywords, isolated incident, "does not occur in the future."
If they had half a brain, they would have said, "We have a winner."
Yeah, that's right. You just won the scorpion prize.
No, they would have given you bring the scorpion to us, you win a brand new car.
Be careful. No, not a car, like a bag of frozen chicken or something. Something they could just have sitting around. They don't want to give away a car.
No, the litigation alone, they'd be better off just to give them a car.
Nah. What, are they going to give them a Dodge Scorpion?
Man allegedly punches manager in face during first day on job.
Oh, first day on the job.
This isn't weird news. This is normal America.
First day on the job's always great, isn't it? You get to meet everybody. It's a good day. You don't really have to do any work.
This is kind of disappointing. This is from Canada.
Yeah. Eh?
I thought they were a lot more laid back, eh?
No, not anymore. Not since all the American refugees have been crossing the border.
We're a little uptight, eh?
Yeah. Y'all go back home, eh, beauty?
Police say a 20-year-old man has a court date next month after a bad first day on the job, eh? They say officers were called to a Barrie, Ontario fast food restaurant on Saturday.
It was the Harry Fork.
To investigate a reported altercation between a new employee and his manager, eh? Investigators say the man had just started a job on Saturday and was being trained by the store manager. It is alleged the store manager was punched in the face after correcting the new employee during his training.
Hothead, they call him.
Police said the man fled the restaurant before police arrived and the manager was treated for minor injuries. They said the man turned himself in on Sunday and was charged with assault, eh?
Beauty. Things up there. Things up north.
There was our cliche delivery of Canadian news.
This story that I'm about to read to you, Craig, actually it was like 2 years ago, but it was so funny to me that I had to bring it to the show. So just a warning, this is a little old. But
is it Winder or Winder?
I think it's Winder. Headline is... Okay, Winder. Headline is, Winder man calls 911 to report being invisible.
How would they find him?
A 28-year-old man...
This reminds me of the Invisible Boy from Mystery Men.
Paramedics said Barrow County Emergency... That's in Georgia, by the way. Barrow County Emergency Services and a deputy with Barrow County responded to a Chancy Circle residence following a 911 call. According to an incident report, when the deputy arrived at the location, he was advised by first responders that the caller did not need medical assistance, and this was the fourth or fifth time paramedics had been to the residence in the past couple of weeks. Paramedic, that's a robot paramedic. They send those out now sometimes.
Oh, sound like a mathematical thing.
Something. A deputy was told the caller wanted to ride to the hospital so he could get more medications because he had taken all the medication he had received the night before. This guy's got an issue, more than being invisible.
Right.
But if he's invisible, just go to the store and get your own medicine.
Walk in.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a bottle of pills floating across the store.
Okay, and according to Barrow County Detention Center records, the caller has prior arrests for criminal trespass, Craig, and you know what else? Failure to appear.
I get it. It's an invisible
That's
joke.
That's a true story.
I get it.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Winter Haven homeowner calls police after flying catfish lands in pool. Well, he seemed like he landed in a good spot.
There's no such thing as a flying catfish.
Yeah, it says that right there.
It does say that.
A Winter Haven homeowner heard a loud crash and a meow and found a new meaning for flying fish.
Really?
We were watching TV and we heard a huge crash.
Kaboom.
Homeowner Leonard Vanderpool said. When Vanderpool went to inspect where the noise had come from, he found a large hole in their screened-in porch.
Good night.
And a catfish swimming in the backyard pool. I come out, and there's a big hole in my screen, and there's this big bullhead swimming in the water.
What's a bullhead?
It's catfish.
Oh, okay.
It didn't kill him or anything. He's going crazy.
Well, sure
he is. The water
was
moving like crazy, Vanderpool said. Not knowing how the fish had just fallen from the sky, he called Winter Haven police because that's what you do. Why would you just call the police?
Yeah.
Why? It's a fish.
It's a fish, and it flew into your pool. So what?
An officer, maybe he got like three wishes from him or something.
So
leave
what?
The fish alone.
Leave him alone.
And
so
then
what?
Eat him. An officer helped get the fish out of the pool and took a few photos. The fish was swimming like crazy. We took 10 minutes to get him out of the water. Then the policeman put him in a big bucket I had. He just barely fit in there.
That's a big fish.
It didn't seem like people would believe it. It's crazy. Don Vanderpool said the officer was even surprised. He had to take pictures because he knew they wouldn't believe him back at the station. Police eventually determined that a large bird, always blame it on the birds,
yep,
had captured the fish to eat it, and while flying over the neighborhood,
that's
the
gotta
stupid
be
the idiot dropped the fish.
But how lucky is that fish?
I mean,
if it had hit pavement.
Yeah, that's true.
It would have been splat.
Fish probably stung it with its horns because bullheads have horns.
You see.
And he dropped it right through my screen, Vanderpool said. When we had it out, you could see talon marks on its back. The catfish miraculously survived, and the officer set it free in a nearby lake.
I'm telling you, that is one lucky fish. All right, we got two more Florida stories. Let's rush through them, and then we'll get to our top 10.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Headline is, Florida students bring dead alligator to dorm room. Fort Myers, Florida, wildlife officials say they've issued warnings to three Florida Gulf Coast University students who brought a dead alligator to a dorm room and posted pictures of it on social media.
So if it would have been luggage or boots, they wouldn't have cared?
No, wouldn't have cared at all.
Nope.
The news press reports that the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission sent an officer to FGCU after getting a call from police at the school about the alligator. FWC spokesman Brian Norris said the students claim to have found the reptile dead on the side of the road. They're just cleaning up, man.
They're just picking up.
We're going to take this back to
Tennessee. If there had been an alligator on the side of the road, it would have been legal to eat it.
It would have been.
Take it home and cook it.
FWC gave the three students warnings for possession of an alligator without proper permits.
Oh, my gosh. Recall issued after dead bat found in salad sold at Walmart.
He was looking for the scorpion.
That's all he was doing.
Probably.
Wait, bats don't eat scorpions.
Well, they were friends.
Oh, he's trying to pick his friend up.
One of them said, meet me for salad, and they just went to the wrong places.
We should just read the story. Some cases of prepared fresh salads have been recalled after a salad sold at a Florida Walmart was found to contain a dead bat.
Nasty.
Fresh Express issued a recall for 5-ounce containers of organic market-side spring mix with production code blah, 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 and best if used by date of blah, 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 after extraneous animal matter. They can't just say a bat.
No.
Extraneous animal matter was allegedly found in a single container, just one,
yep,
of salad. The announcement said the recall was issued out of an abundance of caution. Don't step on me or anything while I'm talking.
We got to go.
It's time for that Flash Checkers Top 10.
And this week, this is a personal favorite list of mine. I've read half of these.
You read. I don't know how to read.
Top 10 dystopian novels, okay?
All right.
Number 10, Americana by Don DeLillo.
Okay.
I haven't read that one.
I've got no editorial on most of these.
Okay.
Number 9, Station 11, a novel by Emily St. John Mandel.
Haven't read that one. Number 8, Blade Runner.
Do like the movie.
By Philip K. Dick.
And
yes.
They're rebooting the movie.
Yes, and it's a good one.
It is. Number 7, I've read.
There you go.
I've read it twice.
I've read it once.
I've read it twice. I'm better than you.
Well, maybe.
Animal Farm by George Orwell.
Number 6 is a book you would thoroughly enjoy. Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. That's a new entry. That one was only out a couple years ago.
Number 5. It's a book about me.
It's a movie too.
It's a book about me. The Giver.
But that's in my top 5 all-time favorite books.
Is a person that goes around giving people stuff.
Absolutely love that book.
Is it people just giving people stuff?
Number 4, The Road by Cormac McCarthy.
The Rose? The Road. Mittler?
No, The Road. It was a great book and a great movie.
All right, number 3 has a special connection with you.
Yeah?
Fahrenheit 451.
By Ray Bradbury. Number 2, 1984 by George Orwell.
Didn't read it. I lived it.
Me too.
And number 1.
Yes.
Brave New World by Aldous Huxley.
And Brave New World has gotten more right than 1984, and people don't give it the credit it deserves. All right, Craig, that brings us to the end of another one.
Already?
Already. It's so quick. Time goes so fast when we're enjoying each other's company. Anyway, I'll see you next episode.
All right. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed it, please spread the word. Visit our website at weirdnewspodcast.com. And while you're there, take a minute to leave us a comment or a voicemail. Got a story for the podcast? Email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com or just message us on Facebook.